Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Dungeons & Junkies presents Escape from Ulthar, Episode 8, Tearing Out Your Heart. Last time on Escape from Ulthar, the party of Haley as Tam Elm, Caitlin as Damien, Carrie as Nunvark, Alex as Cal, and Matt as LB found themselves deep in the underground catacombs of Isla Diablo. They found some paintings, they found an arcane laboratory, and so much more. But now, our party has entered a very scary chamber with necromancy and vats and Tesla coils and all kinds of fun stuff about. And they're about to face a serious battle. Let us now rejoin the party as they prepare for combat with an unknown foe that they are about to meet. But maybe they've met in the past.
The first one you see is a massive four-armed creature. He is about 15 Choke. Feet tall. And as you can see, this is what you see standing in front of you.
Oh, nice. Buddha. We've got a Buddha. Not Buddha. I'm trying to think of... Big Oni.
Awesome.
That is really cool.
He's a bloke out of the Goro, out of Mortal Kombat.
That is one creature that you see.
For me, looks like a Machamp. That's what I was going to say.
I literally just said, hey, it's Machoke. But I just thought you said choke. No, that's Damien.
Oh.
What do you the have against creature. My son?
He's dreadful.
How that's dare you?
Second creature that you can see standing across from you is the creature that's actually standing at the head.
I do not like that.
Work table.
Oh, it's like those things out of Deadly Premonition.
That's terrifying.
Oh, cool. Sleep paralysis demon.
Oh, I don't like... You have to put these up somehow with the episode, because... Oh, you... What? That's not nice. Damien, yeah. Do you still want to know why I'm attacking?
The whole thing is you not revealing yourself yet. That's why I did this.
So, yeah, fair enough.
You can see those two creatures there. You can take a bonus action if anything that you'd like to do with a bonus action.
Let me see. I'm trying to think, do I have anything that I can let people know? No. The only bonus action I've got is two weapon fighting. Yeah. Tam is really more of a fighty. There's no way I can really communicate any of this, what I can see, back to anyone without revealing myself, is there?
I will say that you guys are far enough away still that you could, I guess, whisper it in a loud whisper back towards the party that what you saw. So they at least know, hey, there's
I'll whisper it just loud enough for like whoever's nearest to hear me, and then they can pass it on.
Fantastic.
I'll kind of, you know, Tam kind of looks around the corner, kind of is like, would be visibly shocked if she was visible. And then kind of like, crouches down back behind the kind of tubes, getting as much cover as possible, and kind of excuse me, whispers kind of as quietly but as, you know, hurriedly as she can back to whoever's nearest, like, what she sees. And you can hear it, even though she's like whispering, you can hear that she's quite she's seen a lot of monsters, but these are new and she don't like them.
All right. Fantastic. So that will be the end of Tam's turn. Next we go to Damien, not invisible, and apparently ready for a brawl.
I mean, I'm just gonna walk in and be like, good evening, or afternoon, or whatever time of day it is.
Fantastic. All I want to know then is, are you going to walk up like next to Tam, so you come out in front of the X tubes, or are you going to go around the circle tubes and come up on the other side, like so you'd be between the circle and square or rectangle tubes?
Between the circle and square, just because I don't really want to blow Tam's cover or anything.
Fantastic. So you walk up to that spot, proudly announce your, you know, position to these creatures. I'm sorry to do this to you, but the creature with the large staff you saw is going to use one of his legendary actions because you just entered his field of view, and you need to make a wisdom saving throw, please. Damien?
Oh, yikes.
Of course I do. I'm good at wisdom, at least.
I'm gonna use my bardic inspiration. I don't actually dislike Damien, by the way. I just like quipping at him.
Yes, you do. Okay. 9 plus 4 plus 3, 16.
All right. With that, Damien, you walk and proudly stride around the corner. And as you do, the creature with the staff just turns to you. His upside down face, like, kind of just blows your mind a little bit. You were relayed what this kind of looked like, but as he looks towards you, a weird, awkward smile crosses his mouth. And you suddenly, in your head, feel bells start to ding back and
forth. That's my thing!
As the ringing gets massively painful, and you take...
Bells are my thing, bitch.
You take 8 points of necrotic damage as Toll the Dead echoes through your head, and you see this fiendish creature smiling at you.
Death glare. I'm trying to have a conversation, bitch.
You still do have an action. You just used your movement, so if you would like to do something in this moment.
Yeah, let's. Fuck it. I was trying to be polite and see if I could get any information. But clearly not.
Please don't die.
I'm not gonna die.
No, you're not, but please don't.
I'll never die. Oh, no, I will die, but...
Well, eventually, obviously, but...
Okay, where am I? I'm here. How far is it between me and the big-ass work table?
At this moment, it's about 45 feet.
Okay.
In a straight line. I mean, to get to it, you'd have to, you know, move your way around those objects. Which I will tell you, as you are now standing right in front of them, you can see that those are four massive Tesla coils that have arcane lightning cracking around them, like going up and down. And those two large hourglasses that you see are like giant vats of the fluid that seems to be in all of those tubes. And it's just a constant bubbling through those hourglasses.
What have we walked into?
Okay, Fuck it, I'm... God knows. How tall are the tanks next to me with all the fluid?
The square ones or the circle ones?
Whichever one isn't the Tesla coils.
Oh, that one. Those hourglasses are 20 feet tall.
Okay, I cast Misty Step and go on the top.
Fantastic.
Fuck you. It's over, creepy upside down face. I have the high ground.
I wish I was DM so I could give you inspiration.
Just hold it till we all come back.
You automatically get inspiration when I run a campaign.
Caitlin, you can have it when you start. You can have it when you start next month, Tinker.
I said you could have it in my. I would say you could have it in mine as well, but you're already starting with inspiration.
All right. Would you like to do anything else then with your turn, or just proudly stand up on top of?
Technically.
Oh yeah, you're out of actions now. All right.
Yeah, well, with that,
we've resolved Damien's turn, and we move on to Cal, who is invisible.
Even if I have to use my feline agility, would I reach the shiny Machamp in one turn?
The shiny Machamp.
Let's see. So with your feline agility, how much does that add again?
I have 70 feet in total.
You have 70 feet in total. You would not be able to, because it wouldn't be a straight line, because you'd have to go around like these tubes and everything like that. The closest you could get with your feline agility and everything is probably up to about the Tesla coils and where Damien is standing with the high ground at this moment. So pretty close, but not within like melee distance.
But within crossbow distance.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, Could I see that picture of him one more time? Just because I have an idea. Okay, I'm gonna use my agility to get up close, and then I want to draw my crossbow and shoot him in one of his eyes to try and blind him in one eye.
Nice.
Fair enough. You can definitely do that. Make me an attack roll, and you're gonna do this with disadvantage as you are trying to snipe his eyeball.
That sound.
I'm gonna use lucky. I can use lucky, can I?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. That is altogether. It is a 14.
You approach the Tesla coil and whip out your crossbow and fire it towards this ogre-like creature who, surprisingly quickly, you see an axe flash in front of him and he slices the crossbow bow in front of his face and just stares towards now this tabaxi who has fired on him and lost his invisibility and very angrily stares towards the tabaxi.
What up, dickhead?
All right.
Damien wonders whether him taking all the attention was even fucking worth it.
I wanted to my original intention was to take two crossbow bolts, sneak right up to him and stick him in his eyes, but it didn't work.
Okay, we are now moving on to the fiend with the staff. And as he takes his turn, he raises the staff high into the air that has the skull at the top.
Oh, you stupid fools. I knew you would come. Oh, and Mr. Happy, I know you're here. Your hand in this was much appreciated.
Boo, your jokes suck.
Goron, handle the fools. And with that, he slams his stick down into the ground. And a witch bolt of lightning fires off into the Tesla coils. And all four of the Tesla coils start voltage with even more electricity. As I will tell you, Taryn giggles happily to himself.
Oh no.
But that will be Taryn's turn. Next we will go to Goron, as he has been so named. And
this bitch.
Goron is going to charge Cal. As Cal is well within his movement, and he is going to make some attacks on Cal. Right. Well, that's three misses, but one critical strike. It's not gonna be good. Goron flies up to Cal, and you, once again, impressed massively with the speed of this 15-foot-tall ogre, as he somehow barrels towards you, leaping the work table without an issue at all. And as he does, the four arms, the two top ones, try and swing at Cal with just fists of fury. Cal easily ducks those, as Cal's a, he's a quick motherfucker. The axe, though, that slowly slices towards your gut, you are not as fast to dodge, and you will take 10 points of poison damage, and can you make a constitution saving throw, please?
Constitution, oh, shit, that's only 13.
My bless is in effect, by the way. So you get your D4 to it.
Okay, so, hold on. What's that, 13? 17.
Woo! You feel the axe rip across your belly, and you can see it, that parts of the axe, like, actually kind of rip off in your skin and try and enter the wound, but somehow just kind of drip down and don't. So you will not be poisoned, but you will still be taking that damage.
What does this buff make?
I don't know, but I feel like we're, someone ought to have announced themselves to this creature with hello there, if we're continuing the references.
I'll do that on my next turn.
Thank you. Well, we've got two forearm things attacking us.
With that, I'm going to tell you there's another special thing about this battle and the space you're in. You see, with Terran activating the Tesla coils, you didn't notice them completely. You can see them on the map, obviously. There are those four large containment cells that are up there. The one on the far left is already open. The other three you can see still have their opaque covers over the top of them. So how this is going to work is, at the end of every round of initiative, I'm going to take a turn as the environment, and I'm going to roll a d20. Once it gets to 20, another one of the containment units will open, and another creature will be released.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
We are still level 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed a level up, just in case.
You have not missed a level up at all.
No, this battle is just terrifying.
Chad is just a very imaginative dick.
Oh, I'm into it.
I will tell you that is a 6. And as the witch bolt erupts from, and the Tesla coils kind of fire, you can see that the second containment unit starts to kind of glow as these Tesla coils keep firing over and over and erupting dark energy and electricity throughout the room. All right, but
this
that
is a
means...
really cool setup for a fight, I gotta say.
That brings us back to the top of the initiative order, and that brings us to Hathi. Oh, sorry, LB, I forgot, I didn't even write you on there. You're such a terrible roller.
You got 0, Matt. You kind of deserved that.
I literally did not even write your 0 on there. Sorry. LB, you can now take your turn.
Right. Can I tell what the fluid is inside these tanks or not?
If you want to make an Arcana check on, you definitely can.
I probably suck at Arcana, but... a little while since I've done that. I'll give it a try.
I'll even let you do this for free.
17.
You have no effing idea. You've never seen anything like this in your studies in the light divine cleric scene.
How big are the tanks?
The circle ones that are in front of you are 30 feet tall. The ones with X's are about humanoid size, so I'd say like 7 feet tall.
Okay. How many are there? What do you imagine?
The human-sized ones, there are 18 of them, and there are 4 of the 30-foot tall ones.
4, you say? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is... Okay, then. What's 18 times 7, someone?
Google?
I made my brain hurt.
126.
Yeah, I need even with the best will in the world, I can't do that.
I wasn't paying attention. I could have told you.
I was hoping for the the human calculator to help me there, but never mind. Right.
The electronic calculator helps you instead.
Eh, fair enough. Because I would... How many gallons is inside each tank, Chad?
You really want me to do a volume calculation right now?
You could just give a rough estimate.
Okay.
I mean, it's about a cubic volume per that, so I would say, I don't know, a lot, yeah.
Okay, because I'm going to cast level 3 spell, create or destroy water. I'm going to destroy all the liquid in all the tanks.
I'm not going to be a dick right here. I could and just let you waste your third level spell slot. This isn't water at all.
Okay.
You raise your hand to try and destroy some water, and it just, tink, like, fizzles out.
Okay. Can I do something else instead or not?
Of course. As I said, I'm not going to be a total dick.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've been enough of a dick by giving us this fight.
Okay, I appreciate that. So, can they see me, or not where I am?
You're still standing back by Happy, so no, they cannot see you yet.
I'm going to use one of my 3 charges of Misty Step to teleport across the room.
You can only go 30 feet to a space you can see.
Yeah, so I'm going to be like the other end of the tubes, which are like the X's, if I can.
Sure.
Okay, do I have clear sight on them or not?
Oh, you can definitely see them from where you are now. Yep.
Okay. In that case, I cast level 3 fireball.
Awesome. Level 3 fireball, and that is a dexterity saving throw, correct?
I believe that is correct, yes. I'm going to take my bardic inspiration for this. Can I use this for it or not? No, if I can't, nope. Can I?
You can't use it for someone else's role.
Fireball at?
I'm launching it at the crone, for lack of a better term.
All right, okay, so it's not the thing I was next to.
No.
You're just launching it at Terran, correct? So that it wouldn't hit anyone else.
The dexterity thing throw 15.
Right, that is a fail.
Okay, so it's 8d6 fire damage on a failed save.
In before she's fireproof.
If she's fireproof, I'll be so pissed off because that's such a map move.
I mean, that's also a mood for us from a few weeks ago.
10 total.
Who was
12,
fireproof?
12, 18, 19, 25 all in.
25 damage all in?
Yes.
LB crosses from around the corner and with his holy symbol hawks a fireball towards Terran. The fireball engulfs Terran's chest and Terran actually starts as the book that Terran is holding actually opens up and engulfs the fireball. Before, I need you now to make a dexterity saving throw, LB.
Does he have my inspiration still?
I think I can use that if I want to for that.
Yeah,
I'm just checking something because I actually have a thing for this. Is it an attack at me, is it or not?
Oh, this is. This is attack at you, yep.
Okay, I'm going to use my warding flare so they have disadvantage on it.
Well, I guess I know because this is a saving throw. I'm sorry. Okay. This is not. Yep.
Okay, sorry. This is 19.
Fantastic. The book engulfs the fireball as the fire kind of falls off of Terran and goes into the book. As suddenly then a beam of the energy slashes back towards you. LB though, since you're pretty far away, you had more than enough time to kind of just jerk your head to the side as this laser crushes into the wall behind you.
Oof.
All right. Well, that will wrap up LB's turn. Now we are back to Happy.
Has anything else caught fire? Was it just been absorbed in one go?
It was all absorbed. It all crashed into Terran. He absorbed it with his book and then fired a remnant of it back at you.
You remind me to burn that book.
I feel like
that crone.
I feel like the book would eat the fire.
Definitely.
As I said, the environment rolled a 6 there, so nothing will happen there. But this is a continuous roll, so I will add to it. It's not just if it gets a 20. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a charging battery is what is happening with that.
Yeah. I've never seen that in a tabletop game before. I've seen it a lot in video games, but I'm into that.
Okay, so now we're back to Hathi, who is still back at the entrance. Hathi, though, is one hell of a fighter and barbarian. So he is going to action surge immediately so that he can take a full dash movement and his movement to run, and he is going to attempt to tackle and grapple with Goron to try and save Cal.
Were you playing Zelda when you thought of these names?
I was going to say all I can see in my head is just a, you know, big rock dude.
Is there going to be? Damn it! I'm not going to make that joke actually because Matt's not listening.
Matt doesn't care.
I was going to say the character is called Zelda on a horse, but
shall we get on with the battle?
Yeah. No,
please.
Delay all right. Of death.
Hathi. Reaches and kind of, you know, in the field or the moment, at the heat of the moment, forgets that he doesn't have a second arm to try and do this. So reaches out with his glaive to try and grapple as Goron, just with his two left-sided arms, just punches Hathi square in the face, stopping the grapple, and Hathi staggers backwards. But he is now between Goron and Cal. And he is actually going to use his bonus action to compel duel to make sure Goron comes for him. And he does. So he has now compelled a duel with Goron.
Hathi, no.
All right. And Hathi took, 6 points of bludgeoning damage from the punch of Goron. All right, we are back to Nunvark.
Ah, here we go.
You're very quiet again, Carrie.
Am I?
Yeah.
What about now?
That's a bit better.
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta make out with the mic.
The mic is now in my mouth.
Eat the mic!
Eat or yeet.
Does Nunvark recognize Taran?
You heard him speak, and though it is now twisted from when you last heard it, the voice that echoes through this chamber, you immediately recognize.
Oh.
Oh. And how far away from him am I?
At this moment, I would say you're probably a good 80 feet, and the tubes are... You can get through these tubes. Like, they're not like a solid wall. There's spaces between them. So you could definitely get through, but you're about 80 feet from him.
Okay. Can I use my movement to, well, get as close as possible?
Sure.
I got 35, so...
35 feet. You could get up to either the left or the right side of the endless pit, I'll say.
Okay. Sorry, just pulling this back up. Am I able to get, like, so that I'm about 50 feet maximum away from him?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, I know this is going to ruin my invisibility, but I want to cast Shatter on him.
Oh, shit.
Yes, oh. Nunvark. Do warlock things.
Hell yeah.
Shatter's right. Terrifying.
And how does Shatter work again?
Well, a sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature within a 10-foot radius sphere centered on that point must make a constitution saving throw.
All right, and you would be able to just focus it on him as everyone else is kind of grouped over a bit away from him. Okay. So it'll just be Taran. And you said constitution?
Yeah.
Ooh, that is 19, so I'm pretty sure that's a save.
Okay, it's half damage on a saving throw. Save
all
coin.
Right, go ahead and roll that for me then. Uh,
16.
Fantastic. All right, and how do you cast Shatter? What do you do as you come out of invisibility?
Sorry, my sound glitched out then.
Oh, I said, how do you cast Shatter, like, as you come out of invisibility? Like, are you very, like, proudly, like, screaming towards Taryn?
Yeah, why not? It's more out of fear than anything.
So the rest of the party, who are all here, you couldn't see Nunvark. Suddenly, though, you see Nunvark appear on the other side of the Endless Pit, and you see him, actually, the magic erupts from Nunvark's hands as he casts Shatter in the loud. You can see Taryn.
Oh, boy!
And he stares over at Nunvark.
I see time hasn't helped your abilities, has it?
But yes, that means we are now back to Tam.
Okay.
You are still invisible at this moment, so any yes. attack that you would like to do would be with advantage.
Do spells count?
If it's an attack, like a melee range attack no. spell, then I will say yes.
No, it's not. Okay, first, I'm going to move to, like, just kind of the near corner of kind of between the kind of the things with the squares on them.
Yep.
And then I would like to cast blindness / deafness.
Ooh.
Squad.
Fantastic. Are you going to cast it on Goron, or are you going to cast it on Taryn?
I'll go for Taryn.
Okay, what's the range on that again?
Let me check. It is... it's 30 feet.
Oh, yeah. Then you could reach Goron, I will say.
Okay, I'll go for Goron, then.
Just on the very tip of it. So we'll say you can cast it on...
Okay, I'll do that.
Awesome. And is that a saving throw from me?
It's a saving throw of Constitution 13.
Wow. Goron, I will tell you, gets a +7 to every constitution roll that he rolls, and I still failed that roll. So you see Tam, and I'm not even going to say this is going to take away your invisibility because it was a spell, and he failed so terribly that he didn't even fucking notice. So you were to stay invisible, but the magic kind of erupts, and you see Goron's eyes kind of cloud over completely as he... but with that, we're now back to Damien.
One, I'd like to try putting on the ring I found.
Put on the ring.
Yeah, Frodo.
I've been getting warrior vibes for this whole thing, and it's still worse.
I'm actually Frodo now.
Good.
Awesome. Damien, as you put the ring on, you feel you kind of feel your skin harden a bit around you, and you feel just kind of like stronger and tougher. And out of character, you can right now choose two types of damage resistant that you gain resistance to, and you also now have advantage on all constitution saving throws.
Nice. We'll write
and
that down later.
This is the Ring of Resistance. And as you put it on, you actually hear a voice in your head.
Why, hello. Welcome to the Ring of Resistance. Here to help you out.
Is it
Please
about
choose your
music?
Resistances.
I swear to God, if it was old music, that's the funniest shit ever.
Damien's losing his mind on top of a tanker.
Hey, Chad. You start the next episode of my campaign with inspiration. That's hilarious.
I love this campaign so much. It's equal parts terrifying and dumb as shit, and that's my favorite thing in the world.
My resistance would probably be poison and psionic or psychic or whatever it's called.
Sure, yeah, you can put that down. And you are able to change that at the beginning of or after any long rest.
Nice.
But you now have resistance to poison damage and psionic damage. But you now, that was a free action. Interacting with an object is totally free, so you can have the rest of your, you know, movement, action, whatever you'd like to do.
So he's blind right now, yeah?
Goron is, yes.
How and far is he also from in this a compelled pit?
Duel. He's actually, Hathi and Goron are both quite close to the edge. I would say they're both within 5 feet of the edge of this large pit.
Because he's blind, so he's not really paying as much attention, can I levitate him into the pit?
Oh my god. If this works, I'm gonna die laughing.
I'm gonna die.
I will be that as happy as anything about it.
I don't think it will, but it's worth a try.
So...
Nice to say, so... Sorry.
Let's see one thing real quick here.
Yep.
And levitate when it's cast on an unwilling creature.
Constitution saving throw. I'm not sure how the blindness plays into this, but because he's affected by something already, I thought I'd try it.
I will say that you can try it, but I already told you he is very good at these saving throws.
Does the blindness do anything?
I'm going to say no, as Constitution doesn't really involve his blindness. Being blind, if you were going to, like, say, drop kick him or, you know, just try and shove him, I'd say more. But since this is a magical effect on his body, I don't think being blind would really change much about it.
God damn it.
Let me double check my other stuff.
Someone's got background noise.
It's probably Matt.
No, fair. I'm never quite sure that it's not just a browser tab of mine, but...
You know what? I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna do something a bit more ballsy.
Alright.
Can I use Puppet on Goron?
Ooh.
Like, it's a con save again, but my DC is way higher.
You definitely can, yeah, definitely, if you want to try Puppet on Goron. That's a 25. Damien reaches his hand out and strings, like, fire from his fingers, trying to wrap around the, you know, wrists and ankles of Goron. But the massive strength of the blind, enraged ogre just swinging about, even the magic can't hold it back right now.
Okay, like, the rest of my turn, I step to the next door tank, and I just stare at the bitch. That's all I'm doing.
Fantastic. Alright, that is Damien's turn. We're back to Cal.
I talk shit to Vicious, you think I won't talk shit to you, lady?
Right, okay. So I'm still standing next to Shiny Machamp and, Hathi.
Yep, Hathi has taken the position in front of you, so you are technically behind Hathi, but you are, yeah, right next to Goron and Hathi right now.
Okay, and he's currently has magical blindness on him.
Yes.
Could I... I don't know whether it would work using my acrobatics. Could I do what I was going to try earlier, take out two of my crossbow bolts and jam them in his eye so he can't see permanently?
Alright. You could try this. I'm going to tell you there's going to be a few stages to it. First of all, you will need to make an acrobatics check. That's clearly very easy for you. But I will tell you, once you're on his shoulders and he knows where you are, you will have to avoid 4 attacks from his 4 swinging arms for a reactionary attack as you jump and land on his shoulders. And if any 4 of those hit, I'm going to tell you, if any of the ones from his right side hit with where you're positioned, there is a chance you may fall towards the endless pit. If the left arms hit, you would just fall the other way. So there's many levels to this. It's definitely a obtainable thing, but it's up to you.
I'm going to give that a go.
All right. First, I just need an acrobatics check, and we're just going to make this a DC 15 as you...
27.
Cal easily, and kind of like the Matrix, like runs up happy and does a beautiful, like twisting somersault flip and lands perfectly on the shoulders of Goron with the two bolts ready in his hand. The reaction of Goron is to swing viciously with all four of his arms. I'm gonna roll his left hand with my left hand and his right hand with my right hand, and we'll see what comes up. Okay?
I love it.
I'm terrified.
Aren't we all?
So as Cal lands, his right arms just viciously swing, and Cal, like a fucking ninja, leans backwards and lets the two arms just casually fly by and starts to fly back forwards to stab, but does not expect the left uppercut as the left arm comes and clocks Cal right under the chin, knocking him to the ground, but not towards the endless pit. But Cal, you will be taking 4 points of bludgeoning damage. And you are now knocked prone on the ground.
All right. It's worth a try.
And we are now back to Taryn. All right. Taryn, seeing Nunvarg, with a very spider-like grossness, Taryn begins to sprint and sprints directly towards Nunvarg. That was a natural 20 for his acrobatics. Nunvarg literally Taryn jumps up onto that giant work table before springing completely, leaping over the Tesla coil and landing directly in front of Nunvarg.
Ew.
Taryn leans down real close to Nunvarg, his upside down face, his eyes level with yours, but since his face is upside down, his mouth is above you, so what he's still talking down to you technically, and goes, "Oh, I tried with you, boy, but did it work? No. Instead, you went and ruined everything." And with that, Taryn is going to take a swing with their large blade.
Can I cast Shield as a reaction to this?
Oh, definitely. The scalpel-like blade tries to swing towards Nunvarg, as Nunvarg just raises his newly ringed hand, and a golden light just covers over Nunvarg as the blade just stops. And Nunvarg stares, with still much fear in their eye, but somewhat defiantly, directly into these upside-down eyes.
Fail?
It is, but he does... Or they do get multiple attacks, so they are going to take a second swing at you, but you still get shield, so that adds 5-year AC. That is another miss, so that is 2 misses, and that... No, that's going to be all for Taryn there. All right, so Taryn will end their turn staring directly into your eyes, Nunvarg, and is now directly in front of you.
Get a room!
Don't make me draw that. Actually, no, do. Also, I haven't forgotten I'm drawing Damien.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you have.
All right, we are back to Goron then. All right, first he's going to make a save to see if he has to attack Hathi because of the compelled duel. He does not make it. So he will be taking swings at Hathi.
Can he actually see where Hathi is, though?
He's gonna take these all with disadvantage. They were directly in front of each other, and Hathi hasn't had a chance to get out of his space.
Fair.
So he's basically just swinging directly in front of him. Ooh. All right. Goron. The enraged, angry ogre that is blinded puts his head to the sky as all four of his arms, the two axes, all crash down onto Hathi. The two upper arms cracking him once in both sides of his face as Hathi manages to block one of the axes with his glaive, but without another arm on the other side, the other blue axe drives deep into Hathi's side as Hathi takes 22 points of damage. And Hathi, the blood begins to run from Hathi's side as he almost falls to one knee, but holds his place with his glaive, staring directly the blinded ogre still in the eye, refusing to move and let him get to Cal. All right, we are now back to LB, though.
Right, so, Goran, how close is he to the pit?
Once again, Goran did not move. He is still only about 5 feet from the pit.
Okay. This is potentially complicated even for me. Can I use Thaumaturgy to make it sound like the crone is talking to him? To where I am.
I would let you do it. You'll have to make a deception check on it.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right.
Because what I wanted to do is using the Thaumaturgy to do that is use my spell command to make him walk towards me across the pit.
All right. I'll let you do it.
Okay, so I've got to do my deception check first then.
Yes.
A whole plus one. Let's see. That's a nat 20.
My dice turned up.
All
Hell right.
Oh yeah.
Since you are saying this in Terran's voice, I will say that Goran will make this, because this is a saving throw, correct?
For command, it is, scroll down to it. Command. A one-word command, so it would be approach, I'd probably say. Must be a wisdom saving throw or follow the command on its next turn.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to say he's going to do this at disadvantage. And Goran, I will tell you, does not get anything added to this throw. So what do I have to beat here?
A wisdom saving throw, you've got to beat a 15.
All right, so Goran needs a 15 or above, or Goran on his next turn is going to walk towards the pit and fall in.
Yeah.
That is a 6 and a 4. So as all Goran hears is, approach! And the voice echoes, and you can see Taryn, who was standing in front of Nunvar, even turns their head and stares towards it. As the blind ogre, like a weird like light encompasses him, and you can see that he's not in his own control anymore. And unless something happens before his next turn, he will approach LB.
I'm going to cast a second level spell slot, that's all right, or not?
No, command's already a spell.
I can cast a second level to make it affect two people.
How much is the range on it?
60 feet.
If not, so you're gonna try and affect Taryn as well?
If in range, if not, I won't bother.
He's in range and he hears the call, but uses one of their legendary resistances and just...
Oh, you sad, sad little mortals.
It was gonna be just ignore. That was all.
But uses one of their legendary resistances and completely ignores any effect.
Okay, so I've got a second level spot. Okay.
All right, I'm going to roll for the environment. As I said, it's at a 6. If it gets a 14 or higher, there will be one of those domes will open. That is a 4, so the battery powers up to 10. All right, we are now back to Hathi, who is standing, bleeding, hurt, in front of Goran. Hathi looks at Goron and looks back at Cal. I knew it would come to this, boy. I know what I must do.
No, no.
I have cure wounds. Don't you fucking dare. I will cry.
Hathi, knowing that there's no way in hell that Terran will allow this spell to continue on his creature, Hathi gives a look to Cal, a look to the rest of you, and immediately charges forward with all of his might, driving his tusks into the chest of Goron and taking them both over the pit. Whoa. As they crush down and fall.
No. No, not Hathi. I liked him.
I'm genuinely furious.
I am going to cry at some point.
I'm going to commit murder.
I'm a bit upset as well. It's the first time I've made something actually useful happen. It's not going to fucking happen now.
Yeah, but also, I fucking love Hathi. He's a really
Damien
nice...
actually liked Hathi.
Tam really liked Hathi. Tam was like, wanted to kill. Oh, God, damn awesome. You. Damn you.
You can hear the long echoed roar of Goron as Hathi and Goron fall farther and farther down the pit. But now we go to Nunvark.
If it was Migo, I could have levitated him.
Fuck. I had cure wounds. I had all sorts of things.
It's not that he was dying, it was that couldn't deal with the ogre.
Not to be rude, can I have my turn, please?
Sorry.
No.
Pull one out for Hathi.
All right, Nunvark, what you got?
Okay. Fuck, now I've lost it. Brilliant. Sorry, give me a moment.
It's okay.
Okay, Nunvark is going to look Taran in his their weird creepy eyes and just feel like you're still blaming me for your failures. Your failure to teach me. And then I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast, but can I use my Eldritch Invocation to make an Agonizing Blast?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, fry the bitch.
Make an attack roll.
Okay. That. Do I... I feel I should know this again. Do I add a spellcasting modifier to it?
Yep, you add your spellcasting attack to it.
That makes it 25 all in.
Yes!
Wow. I will tell you that Terran had shield prepared to cast as a reaction to stop that. But with that roll, I can't even block it. So roll me damage.
I know I... roll twice because level 5, but do I add the charisma modifier to each one, or
yep.
Does it never work?
Yes, because you're doing both as agonizing.
Okay, cool. Where's my other d10? I've lost it. No, I haven't.
A mood. A warlock mood.
We've seen Nunvark go full sparkle.
That is... let me do math quickly. That makes it... okay, so I've got a 6, a 9, and my modifier is plus 5.
So 14 and 11?
Yep.
Okay.
25 damage. Damn! Nunvark, as proudly as saying this to the eyes and the face of one of his oldest tormentors, stares the eyes, and both hands just reach up as the aurora beams, prismatic beams, launch out and slam into the chest of Terran, ripping away some of the lab coat that was across the shoulders.
will kill you, boy!
And then I use my movement. Can I use my movement to go back after that, or?
Oh, definitely you can. I will tell you, if you do that, Taryn will be taking an attack of opportunity on you.
Then I stay where I am.
Doesn't Eldritch Blast push him back as well, force damage?
Damage, not
force effect.
Oh, sorry. Unless you have, there's indications that you can use to make it move things, but. Okay, well, that was Nunvark's turn then. So, Tam, back to you.
Nunvark has reason to be unhappy with this thing.
I mean, fair.
Yeah.
Nunvark's gone. Be gone, thought.
Alright, sorry, I was staying muted because my dad is boiling a kettle in the background. I think Tam, probably having seen someone she quite liked just yeet himself into a pit. Let's see, what do I have left? Can I cast a spell and then attack?
Definitely, yeah, if you want to use your bonus action as your attack, sure.
Okay, I'm going to cast Hunter's Mark.
Oh, definitely. You can do that before you attack, for sure.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Guess. Let me double check the things for that. Yes, I get an extra 1d6 bludgeoning on attacks for that. And then I think it's longbow time.
Awesome. Then you can make me a ranged attack.
Okay, roll for hit. 23?
You fire your longbow. The hunter's mark erupts on Taryn's chest. They realize this. They turn their eyes as the longbow, the bow is like almost upon them. And as their reaction, they cast shield. And the bolt or the arrow casually deflects away as the creature.
God damn it.
All right. Then we are.
Can I move at all?
Oh, heck yeah, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Let's see. I assume I'm out in the open now.
Yep.
Okay. Tam's probably not thinking too straight, so. Probably just gonna get the quarterstaff out and kind of head towards the lad.
Sure, towards Taryn.
Yeah, because she was really getting on with Happy. Only minutes ago, they were snorting hash browns. And now, he's gone. Yeah, he's kind of got out of quarterstaff and is just like, yeah,
furious. Just gonna go fuck some shit up. Awesome. Being Tam's turn.
Quick question. I can't use Horde Breaker with a shielded attack.
Wouldn't be able to get close enough to get
fair enough
to Taryn to do that.
Fair enough.
Cool.
Oh, wait, no, that's against Reacher anyway, so yeah, that's my turn.
Then we move to Damien.
Okay. Is there any visible way I can turn off these Tesla coils?
You can make an Arcana check.
Or at least slow them down, because spider bitch is one thing, but like I don't want to have to deal with like 20 things. 15.
You realize that the Tesla coils are both independently powered and also that there is a lot of energy vibrating from the staff that Taryn is holding. So there's really not much that you could do to try and hinder these at this moment.
Okay, in that case, I'm gonna stay where I am, so I'm not gonna move. But I'm just gonna aim double-tongued Eldritch Blast at Taryn. Aiming for like its face, because it's hideous and I don't want to look at it. Also, it used Toll the Dead on me and that's my thing, so fuck you.
Fantastic. All right, make your attack rolls.
One of those is... Where is my plus? There's my plus. One of those is a 16, one of those is an 18.
Both hit. Can you roll me damage?
I don't have Agonizing Lust, so... What implications do I even have? That's a real question. Oh, those. That's 18.
Fantastic. The black lightning and dark energy cracks out of Damien's hands and fires towards Taryn and blasts Taryn directly in the face. And with this, we're going to use another legendary action from Taryn. And I will need Nunvark, Cal, and Damien. I need you all to make me a dexterity saving throw.
28.
19. I'm 6. I'm surprised, but also glad that I don't have to make that.
I'm fucked.
All right. To roll real quick. Sorry. Okay. As Taryn roars, the book on that they're holding in their chest opens. And an aura of black energy erupts out of this book as Taryn screams. And this crackling energy flies through the room in a giant cone. Cal and Nunvark, you are both taking 9 points of necrotic damage. Damien, you will be taking 18 points of necrotic damage. As this zone of negative energy just erupts out of the book, hitting you all. All right, though, that brings us to Cal.
Okay, first I am gonna do... Whose turn is after mine? It's LB, isn't it?
Next is actually Taryn.
Okay. Actually, I've got an idea. First, I'm just going to do Vicious Mockery. So, Wisdom saving throw. Otherwise, he takes 2d4 and he needs to beat 16.
That is a 17. Sorry.
Bastard. Hold on. No, he doesn't take anything then. Yeah, okay. And for the second thing, because someone else might get more use of it than I will use Unsettling Words on him. So I give him Bardic Inspiration, and he must roll a 1d8 on his next saving throw and deduct that from whatever he gets.
Ooh, all right. All right, and that just happens? There's no...
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, he just gets that. So he will deduct 1d8 from whatever his next saving throw is.
Brutal.
And that leaves me down to 1 bardic inspiration left.
All right. With that, are you going to make any movement, Cal?
How much movement would I have left?
Wait, how far did you move to begin with?
How far away was he from me?
He's only about 45 feet from me right now.
Okay, let me bring up the map. Sorry, my phone's all but dead, so I'm not, I haven't got the map up too much.
Dude.
Okay, can I hop up onto one of the high grounds then?
Up onto one of the hourglasses?
Yeah, just so I'm up out of the way.
Definitely. Give me an acrobatics check.
That is a roll I wanted to make. That in total is a 31.
Nice.
Yeah, Cal does a triple backflip, Like, you don't even know how Cal can get this much height and verticality from just a standing position, but somehow a triple backflip and lands in a very perfect pose with their guitar in their hand on top of the hourglass. All right. That brings us back, though, unfortunately, to Taryn. Taryn, who doesn't, like, looking hurt, they are not feeling great, and they are very pissed off. First of all, we'll use a bonus action to try and stab Nunvark with its multi-attack. You can definitely use another casting of your shield if you would like.
Okay, that's what I do then.
All right, Taryn tries once again with a surgical blade to stab you, but your shield from the ring, golden light encompasses you, and the blade deflects harmlessly to the right. You can see Taryn just raises their staff. The skull's eyes begin to glow with black lightning as they slam it down on the ground right in front of your face, and the lightning crushes onto you, Nunvark. I will need you right now to make me a constitution saving throw.
Hang on a moment. That's 19 all in.
All right. All right. The lightning encompasses you, Nunvark, from these eyes, and you can feel the pain retching through your body as you can feel parts of your body like feel like they're dying, as parts of your skin literally do rot off as the blight is cast upon you, and you take 14 points of necrotic damage.
Okay, let me do quick math. Okay.
All right. And then with their... They're going to use... Taryn's going to use one more legendary action, and they are going to Misty Step, and they're going to take their... They're going to actually Misty Step, and they're going to go up in between all four of the large globes. All right, but that will end Taryn's turn. LB, we are back to you.
Right, I need to check my map, see where we are at, as it were. Okay, so he's in the middle of the foyer.
Way at the top of the room at this point, yep.
Okay, how high above me is he?
He is at this moment, by my map, he's about a good 120 feet from you. 100 to 120 feet.
Now you check my stats. Because I'm about to do something incredibly stupid.
We would have it any other way with LB.
But LB's using quite wholesome as well. I'm going to use something from my mage initiative. From my initiative. Initiative, sorry. Can't say the words right. From the wizard side of things, I'm going to use it to triple my jump and jump into the air and cast inflict wounds on him.
So you're basically becoming a gummy bear and going to bounce your ass as far as you can across the room, so then you then can cast inflict wounds on Taryn.
Yeah, it's my plan.
Okay, I interrupt for a moment to say, whoever's editing, I will pay to insert the, like, gummy bear song.
Dash, don't tempt
and
me.
Daring, courageous, and caring.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear.
That's not the song.
That's the song I meant.
I think it's the Disney one.
Our song is better. Suck it, Matt.
Yeah. Cannot
hear
you, Kate, again.
Matt, what is your normal jump height, then?
Normally distance? It is, normally it's, It's... Is it the walking speed, is it, or not? I can't tell.
A third of your movement speed.
A third of it.
Something like that.
If that's the case, then it is 10, so tripled. But I can also use my Misty Step to increase that distance as well, so...
So you're basically taking yourself to the middle of the room then, and then going to cast Inflict Wounds, and what's the range on that again?
Inflict Wounds is... Well, it's touch.
The jump is 3 plus your strength modifier.
I think modifier, that is plus 2.
So 15 feet would be your triple jump.
So I couldn't read you, what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Do something that uses a saving throw.
I'm going to, instead of that then, can I get to Nunvark from where I was?
If you used, let's see, you dashed, if you used your full action and did nothing else, you could make it to Nunvark right now.
I can use Misty Step as well, though, can't I?
Oh, yeah, if you step, and then it would just take your, I would let you do that, and I'd give you one more action from there.
Okay, I should do that, and then I shall cast Life Transference.
Okay.
On Nunvark.
I don't know if that was just my computer, but everybody became a robot then.
Yeah, same. I think that was our internet.
We do have shit internet.
I was going to say, I didn't hear anything, but...
Life Transference.
Oh, my God,
I sacrificed some of my health to mend another creature's injuries. I take 4d8 necrotic damage, which can't be reduced in any way. And one creature of my choice I see within range regains the number of points equal to twice the damage I take.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So it's 4d8 then.
LB dies.
LB kills himself.
7.
Please don't kill LB.
11. 16.
Oh god.
17. I take 17 points of damage.
You get 34 health, Nunvark.
Which wipes out the HP bonus that I got from Haiti. So thank you for that. So I only technically lose 2 points of damage. And then you get 34 points of health restored to you.
Thank you.
Also, everyone else's health is great, and I'm just dying in the corner.
So I have cast that. So now, Nunvark's back to pretty much full health, I imagine.
Yes, thank you.
I've got to take off two points of damage now. I got done.
Fantastic. Well, that will wrap up initiative. So once again, it's time to roll for the battery, folks, and see what happens. On a 10 or higher, one of those large pods will open.
Then a bunny rabbit comes out.
Hathi's already dead. It can't get worse.
Yes, it can.
I think you'll find it can.
That is a 17.
Fuck! So. Do not care.
The Tesla coils all erupt with like a powerful energy, and let's go, Carrie. Roll me a d4 real quick.
Oh no! One blessed dice, please don't be blessed.
A beholder comes out.
Oh my god! Is a 1.
I don't know. I only know beholder in the context of Crypt of the Necrodancer, where they're an easy enemy. So I'm assuming they're not here.
No.
No, they're a one-hit kill in Necrodancer.
All the way around in this one.
The other way around.
All right. So with that roll, the Tesla coils, they all are erupting with this energy. The pod that was directly to the right of the already open pod, so the one that's to the left of where Terran is standing, opens. Slowly as both sides open, and you see yourselves a massive creature, around 20 feet tall, and you find yourself staring at a mutated werewolf owlbear.
I just saw that and thought, God damn it, not another fairy.
Chad, are we living in your fanfiction?
Oh, yeah, I drew every single one of these creatures that you will be battling today.
For the record, I have nothing against fairies in real life. It's just a funny joke. I apologize.
Awesome.
But also, I'm just... Have these dead, I'm... Tam's mad. Tam's gonna stab it. I know it's not my turn, but she is.
The giant opens, the habitat opens, and you see the creature standing there as Taryn turns his head, or turns their head to the right.
Oh, you are so fucked! Bozzy, attack!
And Bozzy.
Bozzy, F-O-Z-Z-Y.
Oh, I was reading it like Bozzy as in like a weird eye.
Fuzzy bear.
I was thinking more Chris Jericho, but...
There, we got it. All right, we will go back to the top of the initiative order, and Nornvark, it's your turn.
Okay, cool. From where I am, would I be able to get close enough to Taryn to use my agonizing blast again?
At this moment, you are about 30 feet from Fozzy right now, as you're right in front of the container that just opened. And about 35 to 40 feet from Taryn, just because of the angle. So you are definitely within range.
Okay. Could I back up slightly before aiming at Taryn? Because I want him dead. He's dead and he should stay dead.
You can definitely back up slightly and then, make an attack roll.
Ooh. Sorry, again, do I add my spell modifier to the actual...
To the attack,
yep.
Yeah.
Like the... Yeah. That is a nat 20 plus 8.
Sounds about right. Cool. So that is a critical strike. Roll me damage.
Okay. Does that add anything to it, or am I being greedy?
I'm going to double whatever damage you roll here.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm using Agonizing Blast again, so... That is the wrong dice. Unfortunately, as much as I wish I did 90 damage to him.
I murder it.
That's 8 and 8, and my modifier is 5, so...
26. 52.
Fucking hell. Beesh.
The aurora beams of Nunvark erupt once again from their hands and crash into Taryn, who does fall to a knee. Taryn,
you couldn't even learn a real spell! You had to sell your soul, you little bitch!
He's gonna be killed by a little bitch, and I'm very happy.
Not quite dead, but Taryn does stare at you in rage. And Taryn will now take a legendary action before anything else will happen. And Taryn, on their knee, breathing heavily,
this is not how this is supposed to go!
And the book they hold flies open and they disappear. And they teleport. And you no longer can see Taryn at this moment.
Okay.
I put on my goggles.
Wait, was it him I marked with Hunter's Mark, or was it the other one?
It was Taryn you marked.
Would that give me any advantage on, like, knowing where the fuck he's gone?
The minute that Taryn disappears, you lose them for a second as they do move to another plane of existence.
Okay.
But about 5 seconds later, you realize you can feel Taryn once again. They're not that far. They're still around. You crane your head and you see in the far left corner of this room, there is a large wall that is not the same color as the rest of the wall and is covered in ruins. And you know the Terran is behind that wall.
Okay, I know it's not my turn, but I want to yell that whenever possible.
Definitely. I will tell you that usually it would be your turn next, but Fozzie is a very dexterous one, and Fozzie is now next.
Oh, no.
You see the head of this owlbear as it, like, the two giant wolf paws it has kind of stands to its height, holding katanas and two other, like, gangly, gross-looking arms. As the owlbear, with all of its speed, begins sprinting straight forwards. And Nunvark and LB, I need you both to make a dexterity save immediately.
Okay.
Is Nunvark used their bardic inspiration yet? Oh wait, no, sorry, I didn't give you bardic inspiration.
Yeah, bitch.
To be fair with those guys, you don't bloody need it.
The bitch made it.
Is it a dex saving throw?
Yep.
17.
Not so dexterous, me. 19 minus 1.
Ooh. Alright.
Sorry, death.
That's not a good sign.
The werewolf Fozzie is charging at you at full speed. LB, amazingly, as if the boots you're wearing somehow help you out here, you kind of slide to the right as the arms of this werewolf try to grasp you. But instead, it catches Nunvark with a clothesline. And Nunvark, I need you once again to make me another dexterity saving throw.
Come on. Uh, 16.
Nunvark, you are blasted by the speed of this massive creature as it hits you with that clothesline and knocks you backwards. You completely fall ass over tea kettle and almost completely fall into the end of the pit as though just the last second you reach your hand up and you grab onto the edge holding you there as Fozzie easily springs and clears the endless pit, sliding to a stop on the other side and staring back at you, Nunvark, who are now hanging from the pit, and LB, who is directly across from them.
I'm sorry, I've heard head over heels before. I have never heard ass over tea kettle. That's amazing. I'm gonna add this to my vocabulary. That's the best phrase I've ever heard.
All right.
You no longer start my campaign at disadvantage.
You get normal.
Yeah, you get normal.
Back to normal.
Because that's the funniest thing I've heard in weeks.
All right. With that, though, it is now Tam's turn.
Okay. I'm still not very close to anything, I think.
Not really, no.
Let's see.
I mean, you now are pretty close to Fozzie, by my notes.
Yeah.
The entire endless pit is now on the other side.
Fuck it, I'm gonna shoot him. Wait, am I close enough for melee?
You're definitely, by my notes, you are close enough to melee if you would like to try an attack.
Okay, dagger. Dagger time. I'm gonna stab this bitch.
Alright, roll to hit.
Come on, hit dice. I said come on! That was a 1. I get I have plus 7, so it's an 8, but it was a fucking what? I've crit failed.
Tam pulls their dagger out, as Fozzie did turn away from you. And so you try sneakily, like, go for the stab. But
she is full of adrenaline, so. Yeah. Her aim's not great.
back leg of Fozzie actually reaches up with a sense of blind, like, knowledge of knowing where you are and actually kicks you square in the chest, sending you coughing backwards, and you take 2 points of bludgeoning damage to your chest as you get kicked full on by this Fozzie.
Let me check. I thought I had two daggers, but I do not, so that's my turn.
Okay. Awesome. Then we're back to Damien.
I need How far am I from Nunvok?
You are... I would say you get there with your movement, for sure.
Okay, I would like to get to Nunvok and cast Levitate.
Okay.
Because I'm not a very strong warlock. So I'd like to levitate and kind of guide them out of the pit. Because I quite like them and I don't want them to die.
Definitely. Yeah. You can do that without any rolls, anything like that, since Nunvark is definitely a willing participant. It does. I will let you. And where would you like to levitate Nunvark to?
I'm just going to levitate them to, like, near me, and I'm just gonna point at the wall because I've had my goggles on this whole time, so I can see the wall. I saw where she went because
you can see, like, that
she's in there. He's in there. Go get him.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Damien's a hero now in Numbark's eyes.
Come on, hero worship.
Damien,
you just get a moment of genuine affection, and then Damien's like, right, bye.
Alright, that'll be Damien's turn then, so Cal.
Right, so how far am I away from him?
From Fozzie right now, you are probably about 30 feet. From the ruin wall, you're a good deal farther. It would take a full movement to get to the wall if you wanted to go that way.
Bring on the wall.
Can I approach Big Bear Man while standing on top of the not tubes, the tanks that I'm currently standing on? Can I get close?
You can definitely approach towards that way, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to get close to him. Bonus action, I am going to use, what's it called again? I keep having to put my phone on sleep or I was going to die. I'm going to use unsettling words again with my last bardic inspiration as my bonus action, so that means he has to roll 1d8 and deduct that from his next saving throw. And awesome. Then I'm going to use my last third level spot and cast Thunderwave on him.
Jesus Christ!
Awesome, alright, and is that a saving throw?
Yeah, Constitution, and then obviously he has to roll 1d8 to deduct that. Be a 16 or take half damage.
That is a definite fail as he rolled high enough to succeed, but that -8 he rolled on his bardic die really did not help. So how much damage will Fozzie be taking?
4d8.
Alright.
Okay. That drops that. Where's the dice gun? Ah. Right, okay. Would someone mind doing the math for me? 3, 7, 8, 8.
26.
26. Damn it.
That's not hard maths, Alex.
He has his characters in Venice. Math.
Yeah.
It takes me ages to do maths. So yes, maths is hard.
Fantastic. Cal kind of runs along the top of the tanks in a really, like, you know, kind of badass way as they slide on their knees and hit a wicked bass chord on their guitar as lightning erupts towards Fozzie, electrifying the ground. And the owlbear head of Fozzie screams once again as it is shocked mercilessly by Thunderwave. All right, we are now back to Terran, though. All right. Taryn's going to do some stuff. Okay. You guys can't see Taryn, so you don't get to know what Taryn's doing.
Do I get to see anything with my goggles?
What you can see is the rune wall is blocking. You know that Taryn is behind there, and you have a vague idea of it, but whatever runes are covering this wall are somehow even stopping your true sight. Like, there is some high-level shit going on with that wall.
I just shout, "You suck!"
You do hear a faint cackle from this room as Taryn takes their turn. And then we go to LB.
Right. I got spells. As to which one to use, I'm not quite sure. Thunder Wave has expired now, yeah?
Yes.
And it's on the other side of the pit from where I am, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And the pit's about a good, 50 to 60 feet wide, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and jump it. I'm going to use my last level 2 spell slot to fire Scorching Ray. No, I'm going to use it to cast Guiding Bolt, actually, instead.
Oh, cool. All right, make your attack rolls.
Okay, Guiding Bolt is a caster. I need my plus 7 modifier. That's a crit 20 plus 7.
That is a hit.
Okay, so that's 5d6. So am I, did that double? Because it was
That it is.
Okay. So that's 5d6, 7, 6, 7, 13, 17, 20. That's 40 damage.
Magic erupts from Elby's hand from across the pit.
It's my hammer. I'm literally I'm doing the whole four thing at this point.
Yeah.
Reaches his blinding light of his hammer, erupting off of it, streaks of energy, rocket across the pit, slamming into the chest of Fozzie. You can see it's not quite dead, but it is hurt. The guiding bolts rip the fur from the chest, and you see, exposed insides of this mutated creature staring across the pit at you quite angrily.
There's also one other thing that happened as a result. The next attack roll made against the target before the end of my next turn has advantage.
Awesome. Damien applauds at seeing the insides of this creature.
Because it is now sparkling, basically. Basically, I've gone full Nunvark on it.
Awesome.
Damien just appreciates the level of violence you've gone to.
All right, well, we're back to the environment. The battery is reset, so I'm not taking any charge from before, so it's once again back to a 20.
Fuck, that was a nap.
Right. So from
I hate everything.
The other room, you hear an even louder cackle, and suddenly the Tesla coils, though they just fired recently, erupt again in energy as you see once again the third containment unit start to open. But with that is where we are going to end this adventure today in our escape from Wolfhelm.
Thank you, Chad, so much for GMing another amazing episode in your, your life, Jen. It seems to be your mind has just opened up into a new life, it seems like, which is terrifying for us. We're now living in it.
You are living in my world.
Heaven help us. Right, I think it's time to do some spiel. Ailey, do you want to go first?
Sure, why not? Hi, I have been Ailey. I am an artist. I write, draw, and generally create a gothic horror webcomic called Lady Changeling when I'm not being so many characters in this. I also... Sorry, let me re-record that. I also make video games slightly in my spare time, which sounds much more impressive than it is. You can find me for those at Copperine on itch, and generally as Space Lady Art on pretty much everything else. Thank you so much for listening and all. R.I.P. Hathi.
Very true, unfortunately. Caitlin.
Hello, I've been Caitlin, the very, 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 very times infinity angry warlock who is wondering where everything went wrong. I write articles about video games and mental health over on themindgame.org. I'm hopefully posting some pretty cool reviews of games and things in the new year. You can follow that at rmindgames on Twitter or just chat to me at CaitlinRC. I mainly post pictures of my kittens because why not? Content.
Yeah. They're fucking adorable is why. Cats. I love them so much.
Cats are amazing. Kerry, you haven't got any cats, but you have got an amazing dog.
I do, and she's currently dragging around a blanket that I gave her because it's obviously not good enough.
Mood.
Anyway. It means she's dragging it around. It means she wants to keep it with her.
I am Kerry. I've played Nunvark, who, let it be known, from this day forth, Nunvark has done warlock things.
I'm so proud of him.
I am Sheerbeans on Twitter and Instagram. I lurk more than I post, but who knows?
Yeah, it's all good. You do post... When it's appropriate for you, it's all good.
Also, the new Santa.
Right? I say quality over quantity, right?
I also occasionally get to be on Game Junkies, so that's something.
Hell yeah.
She sees you when you're sleeping. She knows when you're awake.
She knows when I'm awake, then she knows far too often.
Nothing personal, kid.
Oh, amazing.
Absolutely phenomenal. Mr. Chad, the boss of the network, so, you know.
I am Chad. I clearly made this Escape from Wolf Farm world. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's either at Chad's underscore mind or at View from Top Rope. You can, of course, listen to me on Visionaries Global Media every Thursday with View from the Top Rope, every Wednesday with the Chatterbox, and Sundays with So You're So Smart.
Awesome. As always, Alex, wake up.
I am awake. I was just sitting back.
You genuinely look like you were asleep on the screen.
It's been a long week, and we're only in Tuesday. No. I am Alex. I have been playing Cal the Borg, who is really running out of stuff to use at this point. You can find me at Spiderbread UK. You can find mine and Matt's main show at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find this growing collection of manners, which is. Gone over 41 hours in content at Dungeon Junkies.
Indeed, you can. Fell a lot of content this year. Thank you to our sponsor, Triumph Chairs. Don't forget to use our code GameJunkies, all caps, at checkout to get 10% discount on an amazing gaming chair. And find me at Matt.UK. Thank you again to Chad, to Kerry, to Ailey, to Caitlin, and to Alex. I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And we'll be back soon. We're out of here.
I cast. Goodbye.
Boom.
I cast. Fuck you for killing Hathi.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matt Attack Productions.